You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to Just a Voice, the radio ministry of Global Restoration Ministry. Hi, I'm Pastor Philip Upton. Here at Global Restoration Ministry, our desire is to prepare the body of Christ for the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by restoring foundational truths and earnestly contending for the faith once delivered unto the saints. Join us as we go into a word from the word. Come on, let's go.
The voice of the prophet. In Amos chapter 3, verse 7, he says, surely the Lord will do nothing but he reveal his secrets unto his servant, the prophet. So God said, listen, even in these last days, I'm anointing people with the prophetic utterance. See, the office of the prophet is raised up when he says in the last days that he's going to raise up the spirit of Elijah, and he's going to turn back the hearts of the father to the children and the hearts of the children back unto the father. Now, I believe that God is turning our hearts back unto him, and we're turning ourselves over to the right frequency now that we can hear what the spirit is saying unto the church. You know, there's so much chatter out there today. There's so much news out there today. There's so much negative things that are going on out there that come to challenge the anointing of God. But there is an anointing that will destroy every yoke, but there is also an anti-anointing. I heard Kiki talking about her mother saying things negative. See, a lot of times, you know, they say these things will come to pass. See, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. And a lot of times we carry an anointing or a gifting and don't even know that that anointing or a gifting is something that has come from God. And so the enemy is trying to use the prophetic word or those who have that anointing to alter God's destiny for his people. So he'll take words that we use, negative words, to try to establish things here in the earth. But I'm telling you, there is an anointing from God that when you know who you are, when you speak back unto God the words and the promises that he has already spoken unto you, that you can obliterate, that you can destroy, that you can annihilate and even cancel out the assignment of the enemy. You know, Peter, one of his disciples, he had a prophetic voice. When Jesus said, who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus turned to Peter and said, Peter, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which art in heaven. I'm sure Peter at that time felt an anointing on him. He felt like, man, I got it. I'm right on the right key. I'm right on the right vein. I'm right here. I'm here on the right frequency. I'm hearing from God. And when Jesus went on to tell him about the suffering that he was going to suffer and how he had to go to the cross, Peter turned around and began to rebuke Jesus. When Jesus turned around and spoke to Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. He didn't say, get me behind me, Peter. But he understood the frequency of the voice, that the voice, that the words that were saying were satanically charged to try to keep him from reaching his destiny. He said, for you saving not the things that be of God, but the things that be of man. In other words, God can change your words and take those words that you use, even in a prophetic utterance, to shape some things. But Satan also is waiting to get you to get, like Peter got full of himself. He got full of pride. He thought that everything that he said was correct now. And so now he's ready to correct the master. Listen, you cannot utter things that are contrary to the word of God. And Jesus is the word of God. Peter was out of line because he was trying to say a negative thing, something contrary, to correct the Lord. How many times have we done that with our voice? For 1 minute, we're releasing the anointing. The next minute, we're releasing the anti-anointing. But see, you have to understand, our words are critical. Our words are the establishing witness here in the planet. For the Bible tells us whatsoever you and I, Matthew chapter 16, bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatsoever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. There's a prophetic utterance that God will come into agreement with when you quote back unto him the promises that he has already spoken unto you. But we have to understand there's even more power in your words than what you realize. Because not only will God honor his word in your mouth, but God will also honor your word in your mouth. Elijah was a man like passion, just like with like passions like us. And he spoke unto Ahab and said, "This is not going to rain for the space of 3.5 years, but by my word." And God honored that word and shut up the heavens for 3.5 years. After 3.5 years, Elijah prayed, and God released the rain. But God didn't say, "Elijah, you didn't come and ask me, could I shut up the heavens first?" No, see, they're in relationship. You and I are in relationship with God. And not only will God have your back, you know, as you have God's back by uttering his word, but God will also have your back. He is your rear reward. He will back up your utterances. This is why we have to be so careful about the words that we release out of our mouth. The Bible said by your words you can be justified, or by your words you'll be condemned. Not saying that you are condemning or being condemned by God, but you'll release condemning statements that give the enemy authority to work against you in so many areas of your life. Over in Psalms 103, he talks about how that the angels hearken unto the voice of the word of God. Or they hearken unto the word of God that you and I will give voice to. And so we have to be careful, because they're not going to hearken to negativity. When you're speaking out negative words, there's somebody else looking to use those words that against you. Those are satanic forces. The Bible tells over in Isaiah, he said, "Come, let us plead together. Declare that thou may be justified." He said, in other words, speak my word back unto me that I have already spoken unto you. Declare that word that you know that you have a right to the things that you are saying. Because when we come into agreement, we touch heaven and we change earth in the behalf of the men and women saying, "Please pray for me." We set the decree, and that thing is established unto us when we're in proper alignment and in proper relationship with the will and the word of God. And so we have to first exercise ourselves to not to be emotionally charged, to allow things that come out of our mouth that come from our head and speak things through an emotional hype. How many times when we've gotten upset have we allowed negativity to come out of our mouth? How many times have we got discouraged just when we're at the brink of breakthrough, just about to go into our destiny, and because times, situations, and circumstances had developed that are contrary to the promises of God that we have spoken, all of a sudden now we say, "I don't like this thing going to ever happen." And the angels go, stopping their tracks. "Dad, I was just getting ready to bring breakthrough." But yet they canceled out my assignment with their negative words. You know, Daniel, he began to pray. He prayed for 21 days. He stayed resolute. He began to confess his sins and the sins of his people, and he was praying for 21 days. But God said something special. The angel Gabriel said, "Daniel, you are beloved of God." And this is what you got to know, that God loves you. He loves you very much. He hearkens unto your word. He tells you to come boldly before the throne of God to make your request made known unto him, that you might find grace in time of need. See, we have full access to the very throne room of God. And so when Daniel began to pray, the Bible said, "Daniel, the first day that you begin to afflict yourself, I was dispatched with the answer. But there was a hindering spirit. The prince of Persia hindered me for 21 days. So it took me 21 days to get here, but you stayed resolute. You didn't cancel it out. You didn't doubt. You didn't cave in. You didn't quit. Therefore, I have come to give you the answer. But I can't stay long, though, Daniel, because now the prince of Persia done hired up on the prince of Greece, and they done teamed up on Michael, and I got to go back and help Mike and fight this battle." See, there's a spiritual warfare that's going on, and your tongue has a very important part to play in this spiritual battle. Why? Because you are the born-again believers of God. You are the children of the Most High God. You are the one that God has anointed to get a prayer through. This is why you got to be very careful with the words that come out of your mouth. I'm not worried about what the world is saying. I'm not worried about them forecasting storms and new diseases or economic disasters. I'm not worried about anything. What I am concerned about is what God says. And you and I have been anointed as ambassadors of Christ. That means you stand in God's stead here in the planet. Your life ought to be heaven in microcosm. Just like in a real situation with an embassy, where there is an embassy, that means now there's an ambassador. And where that embassy is, in whatever country that that embassy is located, is considered the country that they come from. In other words, if we have a French embassy here in America, that parcel of ground is considered French territory. You see, when people in different movies, whatnot, when they're being chased by a foreign enemy, they're trying to get to their American embassy to where they can have safety, because they know if they get in there, that everything within that embassy is under the law of the United States and under the protection of the United States. You and I are citizens of the kingdom of God. We don't fall under the same law of sin and death as this world is under. But you and I are under the law of the Spirit of life that is in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we are the ambassadors of Christ, and we speak in Christ's stead here on the planet. This is why it's so important that we come into alignment with the will of God and the Word of God, which are equal. And so once we get that into our heart, then we have the mind of Christ, and when we speak according to God's Word. We don't represent ourselves. We represent the kingdom of God. This is why when we run into somebody that may be going through a situation and we see there's a difficulty, and we'll say, come on, let us pray. And we'll start releasing words that will reverse that situation. If it's sickness, we're going to decree healing. If it's poverty, we're going to decree a blessing. If they're bound up, we're going to say, Lord, loose them in the name of Jesus. And our words carry so much authority and so much weight because it is the voice of a prophetic voice that is here in the planet. But like I said, there's also an anti-anointing. There's an anti-Christ that is here in the planet. 1 John chapter 2 verse 18, he said, little children, it is the last time. So you know we're in the last days right now. And there's so many false utterances that are going out there. You have to know the Word of God, and the will of God is going to be etched in your heart, not just on the pages of your Bible. You can't just always say, I need to find a chapter and a verse. No, it needs to be already in your heart. So when you speak, it comes up out of the wellspring of your heart, and you speak forth the Word of God, it will change things. But it says over here, little children, it is the last times. And as you have heard that the Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists whereby you know that it is the last times. So we know that. We know that there's a war over our words. We know that the enemy is trying to release confusion. We know that he is trying to destroy the righteousness of God by decreeing things that God has never meant to be decreed, to loose things on the earth. You know, and the problem is that we, as the children of the Most High God, we pay more attention to what they say than what God says. How many times have you heard a believer say, well, you know, they say that we're going to have several hurricanes this year. Well, you know, they say that the economy is getting bad and they're firing everybody. I don't know how we're going to have a job. You know, they say that, you know, this thing I got here is inoperable, it's incurable. You know, they say that, you know, and see, why is it that we pay more attention to what they say? And I don't even know who they are. We ain't never met they. We just heard something that they said, but we ain't never seen they. They sounds like a false god to me. It sounds like we're worshiping a false god anytime we put what they say above what God has said. But the Bible said, let God be true and let every man be a liar. The they-sayers. So we have to filter what we hear, although it may impact us personally. But when we speak with the anointing of God to change the situation, not to establish what is, but to change things to what it is that we want to see. Because the Bible says, Psalm 91, yeah, 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it won't come near you. Why? Because you've made the Lord, which is your refuge, your fortress, you made him your God, your hiding place, the Lord in whom you trust. And because you trust in God, that means you trust in his word. And you know that God has not given us a spirit of fear. We're not to be fearful. We're not to be intimidated. We're not to be threatened. We're not to be worried. We have to stand resolute even in the face of being thrown into the fiery furnace. The three Hebrew boys did not recant on their statement, although they were faced not just the threat of being thrown in, they got thrown in. God said, be thou faithful unto death, and thou shalt receive the crown of life. But because they stood resolute, there was a fourth man in the fire. God is going in with you when you stand up for him, when you stand for righteousness, when you refuse to give up, cave in, or quit, when you refuse to yield yourself as a tool of unrighteousness, to release an anti-anointing out of your mouth. When you start to say, listen, you may sound foolish in your conversation. Because people say, what's wrong? Why don't you see? Can't you tell? You hear what the doctor said? You know you're sick. Why you keep on talking about you well? Girl, you know you. Why don't you just go and say you're sick? No, because the enemy is trying to get you to invite sickness to have a resident in your life. Why you talking about you broke? You don't know how you're going to pay your bills. I ain't going to make it. Why are you talking like that? When God said, I know the things you have need of even before you ask, but ask that your joy might be full. It's my good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom of God. Speak back unto God what God has already spoken unto you. Let God's word be the final authority in your life, and not what they say. I get tired of hearing what they say. We hear what they say all the time. But what has God said concerning our life? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. He said, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as a light that shineth in a dark place, unto the day dawn, and the day star arise in your heart. You know, the Bible says that the entrance of God's word brings light. See, that prophetic word would dispel darkness. That prophetic word will deliver the bound. It will let the oppressed go free. It'll bring encouragement. It will give strength and a refreshing unto the bones of those that are oppressed and depressed and ready to give up. That word is like living water, that when you speak that word out, it goes into the marrow of their bone, and it gives them the strength and the gumption to get up and try to stay one more time, because you've given them a word of hope. You dispel despair. You come with some good news. In the midst of this thing, I heard Robin say, by this time tomorrow, and I believe God, that the thing that has said will come to pass. Matter of fact, it's already done. It is established. Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 1 says, arise and shine, for thy light is come, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Now, see, we've been sitting back, we've been laying down, we've been oppressed, we've been allowed the enemy to press in on us. But the Bible said, arise and shine, because that word has brought light, for thy light has come. Why? Because when that word comes, the glory of the Lord has shined upon you. Now, all of a sudden, now it's a refreshing unto you. You can go on now. In the midst of adversity, in the midst of what seems to be lack, insufficiency, and not enough, despair and hopelessness, you speak a word, and that word would dispel that darkness. See, once you change your frame of mind and your attitude, it'll change your condition. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. So you have to have that refreshing that comes into your mind through the word of God. The voice of the prophet is the key to unlocking the prophetic utterance that has been given by God. The purpose of John the Baptist's ministry was to release an earthly ministry, the earthly ministry of Jesus. John was the voice of one crying in the wilderness saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. See, when you're speaking a prophetic word and giving somebody hope, you're preparing their hearts to receive Jesus. Because you ain't just telling them the hope in hope. You tell them hope in Christ. There's hope in God. See, people don't know where to go right now. People are really afraid. They don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. They don't know what the situation is going to be like. But there's a word of hope, a word of encouragement that you can release through the prophetic voice that will edify, that will uplift, that would give them an opportunity to have hope beyond their current situation. See, hope is not, oh, I'll show hope it happens. No, that ain't hope, that's doubt. But true hope is the inner image of the thing that you desire to possess. It's seeing it before it manifests. Heard Robin talking about imagination or believing God or imagery. See, that things that the world has taken from us and tried to use it for themselves, when God is the one who is the originator of the imagination. Because when the children of Babel, the children of Israel, Nimrod's people, start building the Tower of Babel, God came down to see the tower that the children of man built it. And they said they were all on one accord. They was of one language. Everybody understood everybody. And so God scattered their tongue. Why? He said, because now there shall be nothing impossible in which they have imagined to do. Because see, before you ever see it manifest on the outside, you got to be able to see it on the inside. See, before you can even speak an utterance of healing, you got to see that person being healed. This is why you see when prophets pray over somebody, in the name of Jesus, I see the tumor shrinking. I command it to dry up and I command it to die. They're looking right in the position. They're looking inside the body, in the spirit. They're looking at that situation. They're looking at that spirit of infirmity. They're looking at that cancer. They're looking at that tumor. They're looking at that diabetes, and they curse it at the root. We ain't just talking. We're speaking into a situation. We're changing it to the word of God in our faith. And because we can see it, it will manifest. See, the reason why the disciples could not cast a demon out of the demon-possessed boy that was at the foot of the mountain of transfiguration, when Peter, James, and John was at the top of the mountain, seeing Jesus illuminated, shining like a light, the word of God just brightening and everything. And they came down full of the glory, but the disciples are down there wondering it and wonder why. Why we cannot cast the demon out of the boy? He said, because of your unbelief. In other words, it wasn't because, he said, these kind come out by prayer and fasting. That don't mean you go and pray and fast, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, oh, please let this demon come out of the boy. I'm not going to eat nothing until the demon come out. That ain't what he's talking about. You have to get control of your inner self and don't allow things that you see to move you. And see, this is what happens. See, we look at situations, we'll speak a word, but we say, I don't see nothing changing. Well, let me give you a thing that we should know. We walk by faith and not by sight. The Bible said, these signs shall follow them that believe. We don't stand there to wait to see what happened. We speak the word knowing that it is done in Jesus' name. It's important that we know that God has given us the assignment here on the earth to be the change agents, to be the voice of one crying in the wilderness, saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Isaiah 41, it says, comfort ye my people, saith God, your God. Speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, and that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sin. Listen, we have to understand, there is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. So we can have full confidence and boldness, knowing that we're more than conquerors. This battle is not yours. It's the Lord. The warfare has already been accomplished at Calvary. We're more than conquerors. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. I give you power over all the power of the enemy, power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And nothing by any means shall hurt you. In my name you shall cast out devils. You lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Thou shalt decree a thing, and it shall be established unto you. And the light of God shall shine on your ways. The voice of the prophet. It's not just a single individual saying, I'm anointed, I'm a prophet. It's one of the ministry gifts of Christ. When he gave some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, some evangelists, and some teachers, when he gave those gifts, each one of those gifts is a dimension of the ministry of Christ. And Paul said, I labor until Christ be formed in you. In other words, you ought to have a dimension of every one of those gifts in your life. even now. So that there's a time that when you're speaking to somebody, God can use your tongue for a prophetic utterance. God can use you to evangelize. God can use you to bring order to the house as an apostle. God can have you tenderhearted as a pastor. God can give you revelation as a teacher. All of these things are a dimension of Christ. As you begin to minister, each one of these gifts at an appointed time will function in your life. When you yield yourself to the power and the presence of God in you in the form of the Holy Spirit, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of God? He said, therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God. And if you have the Holy Spirit in you, which is a third member of the Trinity, we ain't talking about a little Holy Ghost. You got a little baby Holy Ghost running around. No, it's the fullness of God. He's in us. The problem is we have to come into alignment. We have to get that neural handshake. We have to get the mind of Christ. We got to know that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. See, this ain't me talking. This is what the Spirit is saying to the church. It's time for us to put on our big boy panties, to stand up, to know what our purpose is in this life. Quit being so concerned about the things that are personally happening to us and see the big picture. God wants to use us to deliver the bound, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. That's the voice of the prophet. This is the mission that God has for us. The Bible said, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. Faith is not just believing God. Faith is an action word. Faith is you being about your Father's business. The Bible said the whole world groans and travails, waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God, waiting for you and I to be about our Father's business. The spirit of Elijah. Elijah, one of the great prophets of God. In the last days, he has sent this spirit. The spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father back unto the children and the hearts of the children back unto the father to reconnect with our heavenly father. And we work out the plan and the purpose of God for our lives. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. Hi, this is Pastor Philip Upton, the Global Restoration Ministry. I want to invite you out to service. We have service over at the Port St. Lucie Community Center every Sunday. That's at 2195 Southeast Oroso Boulevard. Service time is at 10:30 to 12 o'clock. Come on and be a part of our service. If you need to reach me, you can call me at 772-267-1657. Hope to see you there.
Oh.